The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you may bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Today's readings speak to us of the first reading, the adventures of Paul after his conversion. I can imagine it was a little difficult for Paul to, having persecuted the Christians, one day, the very next, to show up at their door, kind of knocking on it, asking to be a part of them, right? They were pretty scared of this guy who had been so hard for them to escape from. And now we have Paul knocking on their door wanting to become one of them, and to trust him was pretty hard. We also have this reading of Jesus from John's Gospel, chapter 15. He talks about the vine and the branches. And I need to confess to you all today that after Easter, when we read from John's Gospel, it is very hard sometimes to think of something to say in the homily. He's so high up there, you know, in his theology. In fact, that's kind of why the symbol of John in Christian artwork, the symbol of John is an eagle. In fact, our daily chapel, when you go in there, kids, if you go into that little chapel, see if you can spot the eagle, the lion, the ox, like a cow, and there's a man with wings. Those four are the four gospel writers. John is the eagle because his theology is so far up out there. He's flying so high, only an eagle could be there. I won't tell you who the rest are. You'll have to figure that out, kids. But John's an eagle. It's just high up there, so it's like, how do you bring that down to something you could actually take home with you, right? It's easy to read it on Sunday, but it doesn't mean a whole lot to me on Monday, right? Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." It sounds nice, but how could that be something applicable to my life? Well, every Monday, this last Monday, I have a meeting with Father Richard, and we talk about the upcoming gospel and the homily and the message and certain things, and it lasts about an hour or two, and we usually come away with some great ideas, but this last Monday, we finished after an hour and a half, and we had nothing. And I wasn't too worried, because I had the whole week, you know? It's going to be, at least I got 5 or 6 days to figure something out, so Tuesday comes along, and nothing, and not too worried yet. Wednesday comes, and by Wednesday evening, I'm getting a little concerned, and Thursday morning rolls around, and I'm like, okay, now I'm worried. I got 2 days to figure this out, and what am I going to say? So when I have writer's block or, you know, need to get some new ideas, I just go for a run, go for a long walk. And so there I was in our neighborhood here at Foxcroft, just kind of wandering around. Be careful on Thursdays. I might be out there wandering a little distracted if you're driving through. And I was out there somewhere, and it came to me. I had an idea. It was a great idea. And I came home to do some research on it. Really in-depth research, the type you do on Google, right? You know, just a little question there, and I had my answer. And it had to do with a couple lines down after Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He says, the Father is going to prune you. And in our times, 2021, to be pruned doesn't sound like something you really want. This image of God the Father with his eyes wide open, determined look on his face and some shears coming at you is kind of like, you know, probably not the first thing we'd like to experience, right? Being pruned sounds awful. That's because we don't maybe live among vineyards. If we were in Napa Valley, this might make a little bit more sense. My idea was, what's the difference between a vine that's pruned and what does one look like that's abandoned and just kind of overgrown and wild? And so I came up, little investigation here, I found some images of some vines. I'd like to show you just briefly for a second. This would be a vine that's well pruned. Beautiful grapes hanging there. Right, kids, doesn't that make you look like you just want to take one, right, and bring it to your school lunch? The leaves are beautiful and bright. There's three shoots, and they're all kind of organized, nice and clean. That's a pruned vine. Well, if it's not pruned, it turns into something else, and it becomes a bramble, a thicket full of dead branches, and then the leaves die, and they fall and get stuck inside of it. It's kind of chaotic, and then the grapes don't grow well. They're shriveled and bitter. In the time of Jesus, when he said that the world is our Father's vineyard and he's the vine grower and he will come and prune you, they were like, yes, that's what we want. Because in their ears, it meant the Heavenly Father is going to take care of you. I think they could have also envisioned the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Remember how the Father would come down to his garden and walk with them every evening at the sunset? He would just walk with them. And you can imagine the Heavenly Father running his hands over some of the vines and just loving his creation. That's an image of who God is. Last week we talked about God as the Good Shepherd. Today it's the image of the owner of the vineyard. And Jesus said something beautiful. It wasn't in John's gospel, it was in Matthew's. And he was in chapter 10 of Matthew, he was talking to his apostles about their lives. And he was saying, don't worry about your lives. The Heavenly Father knows everything you need. And he says, you're worth more than two sparrows, right? But he says, not a single sparrow falls to the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing. And in fact, what Jesus said literally wasn't that the Father knows. He says the Father falls to the ground alongside every sparrow. That's the literal translation of what Jesus said. And then right after that, he says, don't be concerned. The Heavenly Father has counted all the hairs on your head, and not a single one will be lost. Literally, what Jesus was saying, it's not that he's saying the Father's so smart he could guess accurately the amount of hairs on your head, right? For some, that wouldn't be too difficult. But Jesus didn't say that. He says the Father has counted them. Right, kids here, sometimes, you know, when you get home from school, your dad or mom might just do this to your hair, you know, say, good job, son, or welcome back, or, you know, to play with your hair. And isn't that beautiful when a father or mother just kind of rustles up the kid's hair? It's a way of saying, I love you. Well, the Father's done that for each one of us. That's why he knows the number, because he's run his fingers through our hair like a loving father would do. You see, this image of pruning now becomes something completely different, right? It's no longer scary. It's not God with these shears coming at you. It's a loving Father who is taking care of your life. And so that means when our life is like a vine growing, and sometimes the Heavenly Father directs it in a different direction, and maybe we were hoping for something, and a door to something shuts in our life. Maybe a health issue comes up, and you have to cancel some plans, or a job promotion you were hoping for, that door shuts. It's cliche to say it, but the Heavenly Father opens another door or a window when he shuts one of them. Or our university students here, our graduates, are trying to get into certain colleges, and you apply to many of them, and often they shut the door. You don't get accepted. Or how about for our teens here, our kids at school, you sometimes go to play a game, and you don't always win, right? I need to take a shout out. Charlotte Catholic football team, they had a great win yesterday, or Friday night. It was wonderful. I got to be there, and the cheer team was great. And then the kids stormed the field at the end, right? They were celebrating going to state, and it was a big party. Not a whole lot of social distancing in that moment. Congratulations to them. But, you know, they won. They're going to state, and we're proud of you. But sometimes you don't win the game, right, kids? And sometimes when a door shuts, God opens another one. And that gentle direction of our lives, in the end, the Father is the best vine grower. He is taking care of our lives, and in His eyes, however our life ends up, will be beautiful to Him if we let Him be a part of it. So today, let our prayer be not, Lord, please don't prune me too much, but Lord, be a part of my life. You are welcome to write whatever story you want to write. That's a Christian spirit. That's what helped Paul, who was doing one thing, being a Jewish man, persecuting the church, to just completely change his life and be Saint Paul. That took a lot. In fact, after his conversion, he says in one of his letters to Galatians, he says he went to the desert of Arabia for 3 years to figure it out. Time of prayer and kind of wondering about the direction of his life. It wasn't that easy for him either. And that's another secret here. When God maybe redirects your life, prayer will help you to discover why. So my brothers and sisters, let us open our hearts to the Heavenly Father that He can, with His gentle hands and His loving arms, embrace us and take us where He wants to guide us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.